Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful Sunday. We're coming together to worship the Lord and now to get in His Word together. I'm glad to be with you guys again today. Those who are watching and those who are listening later, we're glad that you joined us at Manifest Church. And we pray for those of you who live locally, who've been watching and just to connect with us so that we can minister to you in the flesh, man. That is what the most important part of the body of Christ is, that we actually come together. So we want to just welcome you and also let you know that I would love to connect with you and to be able to have you here with me in our home and minister to you right here. And those of you who can't, but we thank God for you, keep watching and let God minister to you today. And those who listen on the podcast, we pray that God will minister to you as you're driving or wherever you are. Welcome. And if you're watching too on any of those platforms, please make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell so you can get notifications when we put up new messages on here. Anyway, so without further ado, let's get together now in the Word. We've been in Daniel. Last week I took a little remission or intermission, and we really dealt with the sanctity of life because it was Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I felt like it was a powerful message encouraging Christians to support life, the children in the womb of their mothers, to protect them. That God has called us to be a voice for the voiceless. And we know that our God is a God who values life. And we looked at that last week. And today we come back to Daniel. We had a couple weeks ago, we were in Daniel chapter 1. And today we begin Daniel chapter 2. We're looking and studying the book of Daniel. And today, as we're looking here, we're going to look at an account of a dream God gave King Nebuchadnezzar that shocked him to his core. And the title of the message today is "The God Who Changes Times and Seasons." We serve a God who is in control of the times and the seasons. I want you to know that. I want each of you to know that in here and those who are listening, that God is sovereignly in control of everything that happens. He's not hit surprised by anything that is taking place. Matter of fact, when the wicked plot and scheme, God laughs at them because He is sovereignly in control. It's important for us to know that. I mean, you know, you may wonder, why is Pastor Danny going to the book of Daniel? We're in the New Testament, because all of Scripture is God-breathed. It's for our edification. It's to help us. And it's to encourage us. We want to look and see what God has done, because we know what He has done, He can do again, and He will do again. And we are to trust Him as Christians, as His children. We're to trust our Heavenly Father. And it's important for us to know, important for us today, because we have hope that God is sovereignly in control of the events that are taking place in our world today. God wasn't just sovereign then. He's sovereign now, and He will be tomorrow. And so God is sovereignly in control of everything that happens. It is God who removes kings and sets up kings, okay? God is the one who, and what that means in our time is that He removes those in authority and He sets up others. God is not unaware of the plots and the wicked schemes of men. He allows them to do the things to accomplish His overall purpose. God will allow even wicked people who think they're smarter than God or somehow they're thwarting God's plan, actually they're going to be used in order to carry out God's plan on the earth. God is sovereign, and He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, and He is in control. Is there an amen I can hear of that in here? God is in control, man. We don't have to be afraid. God is in control. And we can have hope in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trials that we face. Because let me tell you, if you're alive on this earth, you have experienced some trials. You have experienced some tribulations in your life. You have experienced some suffering and difficulties in your life. And all of these things, especially for those who are born again of God's Spirit, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God is working all things together for our good, especially those of the household of faith. God is at work, and we can trust Him in that. So let's pray as we jump into this Daniel chapter 2. And the main text today is going to be Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. This is where we're going to be today. We're not going to get through all of Daniel chapter 2 because there's a lot. And I really want to do the first half of the chapter with you today, and then we'll continue next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together around your word, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, I recognize, Lord, that I'm incapable within myself to do what you've called me to do. It comes from you. Everything is for you, through you, and to you, Lord. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon me as you promise in the book of Acts, chapter 1:8, that I will be your witness, O God. Help me, empower me now to preach this gospel, to preach your word today, to be able to speak the word of God as it is, O God. Give me the strength to do so. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in the hearts right here in this room and those who will listen later or watch. God, have your way in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's start here. The first thing I want us to look at, that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. It's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I want us to look at this. Let's start reading here in Daniel chapter 2 and verses 1. We're going to read. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magicians or enchanters or Chaldean. The king, the thing the king has asked is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. So here we find in these first verses, 1 through 16, we see something troubling the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was troubled by dreams that he was having. And this happened during his second reign and during the exile. Remember in chapter 1 of Daniel, Daniel and a lot of the kids, a lot of the young men and wise people of Israel, he took to exile, took them to Babylon to teach them and to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture. Remember, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. And so now this king is troubled by some dreams he's having. And being a pagan king that he was, he summoned all the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell him the dream and its interpretation. You know, how many of you know that you don't expect a wicked person to look for God? I mean, they don't. They look for created things rather than the creator. We see this happening today. Men are looking for ways to save the planet through created things rather than looking to the creator. We don't look and inquire of the God who made the heavens and the earth. We look to the creation of God, which is the foolishness of man and the pride of man who believes that there is no God and that they have no accountability to him. But there is a God, and all men, even kings like Nebuchadnezzar, are accountable to him, and they will give an account. You know, he did not inquire of the Lord because he did not know him. Why would he inquire of someone he didn't know? Do you remember when Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go"? And what was Moses' response what was Pharaoh's response to Moses? It was, "Why should I let you go, let your people go? I don't know this God of yours. Who is this God that I should obey him?" In other words, pagans have no idea who the creator of heaven and earth. They have seen his attributes in creation, but they don't know him intimately. They don't have a special revelation that comes through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is different. This is a man who, with all the troubles going on, he says, "You know what? Let me go and talk to some other people." I mean, this man was. This wasn't any kind of dream. Now, this wasn't, you know, all of us have had dreams before that have waken up at night and kind of troubled our spirits. But this isn't the same thing. This was a dream that this king was having that was causing him to be troubled in his spirit. And not only that, but he was without sleep. Can you imagine that you're so terrified of what you saw in that dream that you can't go back to sleep and you can't sleep. It's you're restless because it's egging at you. What is this mean? What does this mean to me? What is going on? What is the purpose? You know, see, remember when you were lost and you did not know Jesus Christ, how you looked for purpose and the meaning of life from created things rather than the creator. I mean, there was a time in my life before Jesus that I looked to created things to understand the purpose and meaning of my life rather than looking to the creator of heaven and earth, asking him, "Why am I here?" You know, men do this. Men without God look to the things that are created rather than the creator himself. They look to worship and look to him, look to find out what he asks us. They look to people, "Hey, what do you have to say?" rather than going to God. And the king is so angry that he wants to know the meaning of his dream so bad that if the wise men of Babylon do not give him its interpretation, he's going to have them executed. Can you imagine how distressed this man must have been to the point that he's saying, "Look, if these wise men, these magicians, these sorcerers doing the black magic and can tell you the future and all these different things that they were a part of, these wise men that we have, can't tell me my dream, that I'm going to have them executed." And let me tell you, the execution that was coming was fierce. I mean, he said, "You're going to be torn from limb from limb." I mean, can you imagine a body torn asunder? I mean, this is cruel punishment simply because they could not tell him what his dream and the interpretation of it was. They could not give it to them because they were mere men. They do not know what's in the heart of man. Only God knows what's in the heart of a man. And the wise man was powerful about this. Of course, not only was he going to, not only was he going to tear him from limb to limb, but their household was going to suffer. I mean, can you imagine? As a father or mother, you know, you see that your husband can't do this thing the king is asking, and we're all going to die as a result of him not being able to do that. He's going to be torn limb from limb, and then we're going to be destroyed ourselves. I mean, this king was vicious, man. He wanted to destroy. This is how upset he was and how desperate he was to know what his dream was about and its the interpretation of it. I'll tell you one thing. These guys were wise. They were wise enough to state this. Look at what they said in verse 11. It says, the king, or the thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Isn't that awesome? That they at least had the wisdom to realize that what you're asking me, no man can do this for you. Only the gods can do this. Now, obviously, they used the little g because they don't know the creator of heaven and earth. They know there's a God because of creation, obviously, but they don't know the only true and living God. And it's powerful because you need to understand that God is the one who knows this. Matter of fact, Isaiah 29, look what Isaiah 29, 14 says. This is what he declared, and it's so powerful. He prophesied this. He says, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Can you see that God had caused the wisdom of these wise men to perish and their discernment to be hidden from them? They could not discern and they could not be wise enough. God had hidden this mystery from them. What the king had saw, God had kept it away from them. Why? Because he was going to demonstrate who he was to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God doesn't do anything without reason. There is purpose to every act, every decision our Heavenly Father makes, because he is sovereign and everything is working together to accomplish his overall will. And man, what an awesome God we serve. You know, Daniel was right. He says the only true God reveals deep and hidden things. Only God. And this is why these wise men realize, you know what? I cannot give you what you want, King, but there only the gods can do that. And that's exactly right. Only God himself can reveal the deep and hidden things. Matter of fact, because they said this to him, the king is like, okay, fine, you just sign your death warrant. And the king sent out his men to kill all the wise men of Babylon and Daniel. And Daniel asked the captain of the guard, hey, wait a minute. Because remember, Daniel was one of the wise men. So was Mishael. So was Azariah. So were his companions. They were all, and as many of you know it even more easily, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were all wise men and they were about to be killed as well. They weren't in this moment where the king had called in his courts these other men, but they were part of the wise men. And so they were about to be, they had no idea this was going on. And so Daniel asked the captain of the guard, he says, why is the decree so urgent? And once the captain of the guard said, hey, look, this is what's going down. The king is terrified of this dream and he's about to kill anybody who can't tell him what the dream is or its interpretation. And Daniel, man, because he's a man of God, because he cares about people, this is demonstrating love. He cared about his boys, right? He cared about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He cared about them. He was like, hey, let me go to the, he goes to the king and he shows up and he says, King, give me some time and I will show you the interpretation of the dream. And so the king grants him his request. He doesn't carry out the sentence yet. He puts it on hold for a minute. I'm going to tell you right now, we serve a God that can do the same. We serve a God that right now, no matter what the enemy may be coming against you in your life, God can put it on hold. And God can do a mighty work in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trial. God is faithful. So we see this dream. We none of us know yet. You probably read before and read this chapter before. I would imagine if you're a Christian long enough, you've read the book of Daniel. You have an idea what this dream is about. But we hadn't even got to the dream and its interpretation yet. And we're seeing that whatever this king saw was pretty profound, that he wants it to know it so badly that he's willing to destroy everything around him to know it. I mean, this man has gone crazy. And so now God reveals the dream to Daniel. Let's go on. Let's read verses 17 to 24 now. It says, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with it. To you, O God, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." Man, Daniel knows, you know, the difference between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar is Daniel knows who to go to. Daniel knew who to go after. Daniel wasn't like the king and called magicians and sorcerers. You know what, Christian? If you want to know the purpose and meaning of your life, don't look to the stars. Look to the one who made the stars. Don't look to created things. Look to the creator. Christians are not to be looking at horoscopes to figure out what they're about. This is all godless things. These are pagan things. We're not to be involved in those kinds of things. We're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to look, and the Bible is clear. We have a relationship with him, and we can inquire of him. God has given us the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts, who presses upon our lives and leads us and guides us into all truth. We don't need to look to sorcery. We don't need to look at witchcraft. We can look to the one who has all the answers that we need. And we can go to him. We could be like Daniel, who was a real wise man, who said, "You know what? We're going to seek God. We're going to go after the Lord. We're going to cry out to God." And he knows who can give him the revelation. And he knew only God could do it. So Daniel calls his boys together. Amen. I'll give you a little pop culture thing there. Daniel calls his boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, together to tell them what has happened and ask them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So his boys get together and him, and they just begin to pray and ask God for the interpretation. They knew who to go to. They knew the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew that God spoke to them, spoke to people in their dreams. This isn't uncommon. I want you to know, Daniel knew that God was the only one who can give them the dream and its interpretation. He knew this. And that's why he said, "Wait, we got to go to God. We got to go to the source of all wisdom and all knowledge and all insight. God is the one that can tell you the deep things of man's thoughts." You see, I want you to understand, it isn't uncommon for God to speak to people in their dreams. And God doesn't just speak to Christians in their dreams. You know that God speaks to wicked people, to pagans, to sinners in their dreams as well? What was Nebuchadnezzar? He wasn't a God-fearing man. He feared nobody. He was king. He was God on the earth, is what he thought of himself. And yet God spoke to this king in a dream. In Numbers 12:6, it says, And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream." You see, God has been doing this from the beginning, speaking to people in dreams. Look at what Job writes in Job 33, verses 14 through 18. "For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and conceal pride from a man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword." You see, God speaks to us in dreams. And it's interesting that I'm in Daniel chapter 2, and my wife and I recently have had dreams. We've been having dreams of certain spiritual warfare taking place. Matter of fact, I'll give you a quick understanding. I was a couple weeks ago, I was woken up by a dream that I had. I wasn't sure what was going on. I was on a stage, a platform, and I was preaching, and I was surrounded by people worshiping, and I was declaring God's word. And as I was declaring God's word, there was a person in the back. In this dream, a couple things happened. Somehow I was ministering to this young man, and he wanted to bless me. He wanted to give me something. So he made some kind of thing that would go around your waist, and it had like a almost like a little pouch, and then it also had something that you put around your wrist, and then on the part of the wrist it had like a little cross, and then on the side that thing had like a picture of a wolf, and I you know, kindly told the young man, I said, listen, I'd wear the thing with the cross because obviously it's a symbol of our faith, what Jesus did on the cross, but I will not wear the part that has the wolf. Why? Because wolf has a bad connotation in the scripture. So I don't want to put that on myself at all. And so the kid kind of went away sad and was upset. And then all of a sudden I find myself on a stage and I'm preaching the gospel. And as I'm preaching the gospel again, there are people worshiping and all this stuff is going on around me. And then I see a person in the back, a young man in the back, like praying, but his eyes are rolling back and he's possessed by a demon. And so I begin to try to cast out the demon, and so does the people on the stage, and we begin to do spiritual warfare. And then I wake up. And what's interesting of this dream, I found myself this weekend or on Friday, I was conducting a funeral for a cousin of mine. And him and his wife, they lost their son. And I was conducting a funeral and I was in a stage and there were people around me who were worshiping as well. And I'm on this stage and I believe that God was doing something, preparing us for a fight that was happening for the souls of those people that were listening. God made it clear to me that moment. I saw it before it happened. I had no idea, but God made it known. And see, I'm telling you, sometimes we don't pay attention to certain things. You need to pay attention to when God speaks to you in your dreams. God is always speaking to us. This is an uncommon thing. I want you to know that God speaks to his people in their dreams. I'll prove it. God spoke to Abimelech, the pagan king of Gerar. He was about to take Sarah, Abraham's wife, to be his wife. You remember that moment in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 7? Abraham was afraid because they had just come into this king's kind of territory. And he's like, hey, tell him you're my sister. And so, I mean, Sarah was a beautiful woman. I mean, she was hot. And so this king was like, wow, this woman is beautiful. So I'm going to take her as my wife. And all of a sudden, the king, he's just kind of sleeping. And all of a sudden, God comes to him in his sleep and says, I'm going to kill you because you're going to take another man's wife. And the king was startled. And he's like, wait, Lord, what do you mean? And anyway, as the dream continues, he says, I don't even know. I didn't know. How would you kill me? And the king was like, no. And God was like, I know you didn't know. But this is another man's wife. This is Abraham's wife. And basically the king, he is like, his house is all messed up. He's scared. And he's like, hey, man, why did you do this to me? Why don't you just tell me the truth? I would have never done that if I would knew that was your wife. There would have been none of that. And Abraham, because he was afraid that, hey, you might hurt me because she's beautiful to take her from me. I said what I said, even though it was a partial lie because she is related to me. But he still lied because he's not his direct sister. It's not the daughter of his mother. I mean, so anyway, the point is that God spoke to a wicked king that he was about to kill because he took another man's wife. You remember God spoke to Jacob in a dream where he revealed to Jacob that he was the God of his father, Abraham, and the God of his father, Isaac, and that he would be with him and that he would bring him back. You remember, known as Jacob's ladder, he saw the angels ascending and descending, and God said, I will be with you, Jacob. This is found in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. How many of you remember the coat of many colors, right? We remember that God spoke to Joseph in a dream. And in that dream, God revealed that he would be put in high authority to bring salvation to his family, that he was going to rise above his family in such a high place of authority that that would bring salvation to his family. And we all know the story in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 to 11. If you've read the account, God had used what the enemy meant for evil in Joseph's life to bring about the salvation of his people. And we saw that he was raised up to the second in command of all of Egypt. Amen. You might be going, Pastor, but this is the Old Testament. I mean, of course we read this already, and yes, God spoke to them in dreams. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know that God does not change like we do. We are the ones that have to change. He does not change. Hallelujah. My God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that can give you confidence to know that he is faithful. Now, let me give you some New Testament accounts of God speaking in dreams. Let's start at the very first book, Matthew chapter 1. The very first gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because what was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that moment? He's having a dream. God sends an angel to speak directly to him in his dream and says, hey, do not be afraid, because think about it. He knows the law that she's pregnant. I haven't done nothing with her. She's pregnant. This is bad. They can stone her, and I don't want to do this, and I'm concerned. And the angel says, don't be afraid, and speaks to him in his dream. And praise God, Jesus is raised up, because he is the one who is going to save his people from our sins. Amen. How many of you remember Peter quoting the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost? Let's go over there for a minute. Acts chapter 2. I want to take you there. Acts chapter 2. Take my time here. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to drink some water too, because I'm a little thirsty. And we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21. I want you to know that he said something about the last days. And the moment that Jesus ascended, to sit at the right hand of the Father, the last days began. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Isn't that awesome? That God was telling us, hey, in those days, I'm going to give young men vision, and I'm going to give old men dreams. They're going to dream dreams. This is going to, because this Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh. And so we need to understand that God is going to pour out his Spirit on all of us, and he is going to speak to us in visions. He's going to speak to us in dreams. And most importantly, he's spoken to us in his word. How about that? Amen. We've got the more sure thing right here, the word of God. Amen. Again, Pastor Danny is not telling you not to pay attention to the word. Why? Because every vision, every dream has to come to the plumb line of the word of God. If it is speaking something contrary to this, then you're to disregard that dream or vision. But if it's in alignment with the will of God according to his word, then you can accept that dream as from God. Remember that. That's just a little free thing there to help you, because sometimes people think, well, Pastor Dan is just telling you to follow a dream. No, don't follow. Sometimes it could be a bad pizza you had. No, that's not what I'm saying. You need to be in step with the Holy Spirit and know that that's God speaking to your heart. How about this? God speaks to the centurion Cornelius and to Peter, the Apostle Peter, in a vision. Didn't he do that in Acts chapter 10? If you remember, Cornelius is doing his afternoon prayer, or he's praying and offering incense to this God he does not know. And God speaks to him in a vision, and the angel says, "Hey, I've heard, I've seen what you've done for the nation of Israel and your giving, and has come up to me as a memorial. And so I want you to send men to Joppa to call for Peter." And so he leaves there and he just obeys God. And he sends his men out to go to Joppa and to find this Peter, that he wants Peter to bring a message to him. And at the moment that that's happening, these men are on the journey all the way. God gives Peter a vision. And Peter sees from heaven, because he's hungry, he's praying, he's up in his prayer closet, he's praying, and he starts to get a little hungry, and so they're preparing food for him. And as that's happening, all of a sudden God brings him into a vision, and he sees a cloth coming down from heaven with all kinds of unclean animals, in the sense to the Jewish person, because we're talking about pig and that kind of stuff. Those things were considered unclean to them. And the vision it says, "Lord, take and eat." It said, "Take and eat." And he said, "No, Lord, nothing unclean's ever touched my lips." And it kept happening. And then finally God said, "Hey, don't call what I call clean unclean." And he wakes up, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door from those men that Cornelius sent to knock on the door to bring him. And they ask, "Hey, is there a Peter here? We need our master sent us here to ask him to come with us." And the Holy Spirit tells Peter, "Go with those men." You see, God was already preparing in visions, in dreams. God was already speaking to them, and both of them realized God was speaking. So God, it's not uncommon. How about God speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus? He had a vision. He's on his way to persecute Christians. He gets knocked off the horse. A great light shone, and all of a sudden Jesus begins to speak to him. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And we know what happened. That changed his life. He was born again from that point on, and he became the Apostle Paul. And he became the apostle to the Gentiles. He brought the message of the gospel to the Gentile nations. God spoke to him in a dream, in a vision. The Apostle John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ while in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He saw a vision, and God spoke to him. We can see this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given to him in a vision. God still speaks to us in our dreams and in visions. God answers the prayers and reveals the mystery to Daniel in a vision that night. He gives it to him, and Daniel begins to praise the God of our fathers and of his fathers, and he says the things that describe the greatness of our God. Man, I want to read those things real quick to you before we finish today. I want you to hear what he said about this God. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 2. I want you to see what he said. And man, I pray that this encourages you to know that our God knows everything. And nothing that is going on right now in America or around the world in 2023, God is not unaware of. He knows what is going on. Everything is working according to His will and purpose. And we can know and have hope that He is in control. Watch what it says here. It says in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 2, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong the wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons.'" See, God is the God who changes times and seasons. He's the one who dictates when things take place, what goes in and what goes out. God is faithful. and you and I can hold fast to that. He removes kings and he sets up kings. Hey, listen, I know some of us are saddened by what happened here in America with presidential elections or with Senate elections and all this. But let me tell you, God is the one who removes men and God is the one who places men. We are to put our full trust in him, and our assurance is not in any political party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and him alone. And in his kingdom is the one that we want to bring to this earth. It is, the Bible says that we're to be ministers of reconciliation, every one of us. Yes, I'm not saying be involved, be about trying to make a difference even in the political realm. Why? Because God needs to be there. His light needs to be shown in the politics because politicians are corrupt. And we need the light of the gospel there to remove corruption. Amen? And pray for them, you know? And he begins to say, God, You're the one who sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Can you, he is praising God because God had made it known to him. And I want you to know there are some things that you're asking God, continue to persevere in prayer, continue to ask him, because one day you will begin to give him thanks for it already. You say, thank you, Lord. And there are things that God may be saying, no, I don't want that for you because it's going to bring you to destruction. I have a different way for you to go. And so trust him in the process. Because God is the one who changes times and seasons. Praise God. We love you. Let's pray now as we get ready to leave. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness today to speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We thank you right now that you've already answered, Lord. You already made the provision for us. And Lord, when we don't know what to do, Lord, we can look to you. We can inquire of you. We can ask of you and you will answer, just like you did for Daniel and his boys. You answered for them. You answered them so that in that answer, it saved the lives of all the wise men, not just theirs, but everybody. Lord, we have the message of salvation that to save men from their sin, we have it. And Lord, use us. And if there's somebody right now who does not know you, Lord, I pray today that the power of the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts and they'll recognize that they need the Savior. And if that's you and you're listening or you're watching and you say, man, I'm like that pagan. I've been looking and running after all these other things. I'm looking at tarot cards. I'm looking at all these other things to figure out what's the purpose or what's my next step. And God's convicted my heart that I've sinned against him. Oh, man, my friend, if that's you today, the Bible says if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And I pray you'll repent of those things. You'll throw those things away. If you have any of those things in your house, burn them up. Get them out of your house and begin to worship. Get you a Bible and begin to worship the King of Kings and begin to inquire of the living God. And he's demonstrated who he is through his son, Jesus Christ. Today, the Bible says if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If that's you, right where you are, you can stop, you can bow down, you can pull your car over, you can do whatever and just say, Lord, I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Wash me clean, oh God. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that God raised you from the dead, and I place my hope in you, my trust. I believe on you, Lord. And the Bible says that he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so if that's you, praise God. And let us know if that was you. Write me, whatever, private message me, whatever you want to do. I just want to hear from you. And I pray for those who are Christians listening and watching. Maybe you've been in your flesh and you've been dabbling in some of these dark arts and things like that. Repent of it. Get it out of your house. That's why you're out of step. That's why things aren't going right. That's why you're under this the influence of these evil spirits. You need to break free from that. You need to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I cast it out of my life. I renounce any of these things I've been a part of right now. I look to you now. And anything that you have that is not of him, take it out of your house and burn it. Get it out of there. Any of those evil things, get them out of your house and trust the Lord. And he's going to speak. The Bible says that he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. And ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you for grieving him. And to revive you once again. And God will do it. And we love you, Lord. We ask all these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you.